number, Mr. Wick, the witness will conduct your hearing at this time, sir.
Okay.
Sir, can you hear me today?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My name's Manuel J.A.Y. Kirkwood. My DLC number is 146602.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I would like to introduce you to the board members. In the room this morning, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. We have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me, the Honorable Mr. David Beal. My name is Enrique Yonis. I'll be serving as the panel lead in your hearing. Also in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. On that form, you were notified of your rights to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense, and also to hire an attorney. So the question is, and I'm going by a different script, did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to swear you in, as well as our community corrections officer, Mr. Kirkwood.
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, I do, sir.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
It would appear that we also have an individual in the room who is supporting Mr. Kirkwood today. Do we have Alyssa Hughes Kirkwood? Do you plan on speaking today?
Yes.
Okay, I need to swear you in as well. So again, you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, so you affirm?
I do.
Okay. Later in the hearing, you will be given an opportunity to speak for the board. Thank you. Back to you, Mr. Kirkwood. Your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we determine whether your release status should be revoked or reinstated. You received a probable cause hearing in front of a hearing officer on March 21st, 2019. At that hearing, the probable officer found that due to your admission that you are the influence of drugs and information listed on the arrest warrant, you found probable cause that you violated the condition of release and had lapsed or the probable lapse of the criminal waste for company. Based on the findings of that probable cause officer, I move to find Mr. Kirkwood delinquent, is he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways for company?
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Neal. Just give me one second. Okay, Mr. Kirkwood, we're going to continue the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as Mr. Turner, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, sir, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Kirkwood was released from ADC custody on 12-18-2017 and arrested on 2-7-2019 by the Arizona Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit with the U.S. Marshal's Office due to a prior DUI charge with Phoenix PD. He was returned back to ADC custody on 2-8-2019 with an adjusted CSED of 10-25-2019 with 7 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, promoting prison contraband, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1998, armed robbery, 4 years. 1999, criminal trespassing, first degree, 1 year. 2004, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2005, aggravated DUI, 4 months. 2006, commitment E, count 2, burglary, first degree, 12 years. 2006, commitment F, count 1, stalking, 10 years. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. STG information, he is a suspected member of the criminal street gang, Gangster Disciples. Prior terms of supervision, 2005, TIS release, completed, 2 months. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, sex act, stalking, promoting prison contraband, and drugs noted. Other arrest, 2005, aggravated DUI, Arizona County Jail. He has a GV score of G6, V8, status of charges. Corporal Supervisor Bullock, current charges of DUI, slightest degree misdemeanor, and DUI drugs misdemeanor are still pending charges. Offender has a current active warrant due to not reporting for court.
Thank you, Mr. Charter. Back to you, Mr. Kirkwood. I would like to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released to the Department of Corrections with approved placement at 3835 East Park Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. On November 23, 2018, police were called over an argument that you had with your in-laws. You were asked to leave that approved residence. On November 27, 2018, you reported to South Park Parole Office and were staffed with a supervisor and was able to provide an address where you'd be staying. A verbal call by me was made to your aunt, Vivian Cole, and she gave consent for you to reside with her located at 2524 East Contention Line Road in Phoenix. Sir, you were missing from community supervision for 7 days, so where were you living during that time, Mr. Kirkwood?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat that, sir? I'm barely able to hear you.
Sir, just one second.
I do.
Okay. You were missing from community supervision for 7 days. Where were you living during that time, sir?
I was actually going through mental psychotic problems due to my mother's situation that happened just the month prior with the kidnapping and attempted rape. So I had had a lapse in judgment and decided to drive home on my medication, and I shouldn't have. And then I just blacked out. I don't remember as much as I would like to. It's just vague. I know that at one point that I was at Connections medical place where my wife had told me that she had me under being evaluated and that I needed to turn myself into there, so I went to Connections, and then that's when the issue, or slight issue, ensued with the U.S. Marshals surprising me and placing me under arrest and detaining me back up under DLC's status as far as an inmate.
We already went through a probable cause hearing separate from this hearing, but what medication were you on that caused you to black out, pardon me?
I was on psychotropic drugs. I have frontal lobe brain damage, so I don't recall exactly the exact meds they had me on, but I was taking them and not taking them. I was going through episodes of depression with my mom and things that were family issues. It still is not a crutch for me to hold on to attempt to sugarcoat anything, if I may say that. I just had a lapse in judgment. I was doing great out there. I was working, and I didn't remember falling asleep at the lab. I remember stopping in, and after that, I made the call to my parole officer that Saturday. He did not answer at his business. tried his cell phone number, and then I attempted to call him Sunday, acknowledged the fact that I had been detained, not arrested. I don't know if that's the same thing. I was not taken and booked into the county jail whatsoever. They had believed in me enough to issue me basically a notice of appearance, and I gave them my blood. Those are actually officers that under my supervised or community supervision paperwork that states that any supervising officer should be afforded the opportunity to search my person or my vehicle, and I gave them that, and I gave them my blood. I explained to them I was on psychotropic drugs, and I was going through a few different things with my mom, having difficulties out in Illinois, and I was transient for a couple of days. I believe I was just walking and cleaning up the streets. I have video of me actually just figuring out that I can just pick up some trash in my own neighborhood where I'm front of my own neighborhood, and I know it's a bunch of kids. So I didn't have no place of residence other than my aunt, and I wasn't there because I was literally going through issues mentally where I was trying to figure out where I was or what I was doing, and I apologize to see an imprisonment upon everybody's time because I know that my intentions weren't to be criminalistic in any way whatsoever. I just don't have any excuses other than the fact that I was fluctuating between my medications, and you can't do that with psychotropic drugs. They will, it'll cause difficulties in my ability to think correctly and things like that. I'm currently on my meds now. That's as much as I can afford you, sir.
Okay, so you're back on your medication now, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been on my meds for 3 months. It's difficult because it's an extreme amount of meds that I need to take, and I'm just not so I'm familiar with all of them that they have me on, but I'm doing good under these circumstances, and I appreciate this time.
Thank you, sir. Would you be able to operate a vehicle under the meds that you're taking now? I mean, do they cause an impairment?
No, sir, because even the meds that I had acquired while on the streets, it does state that they may cause drowsiness, and it is not, suitable for a person that's on the medication to drive. I had made a poor decision. There's no excuse for that. I take responsibility for that because I knew better than to drive from the area that I was at, and I would took you where my wife was, and going back to my aunt's. I felt strong enough to get there, and that was just totally poor judgment on my behalf, and I apologize to my wife and to everybody else that's have to sit here and deal with this at this point. That's as far as I can go as far as what was going on at the time that I was, being pursued. I wasn't aware that I was being pursued at that particular point either. I was doing everything I can to stay on the right track. I don't have the abilities that, or the criminalistic personality that I used to. It's not something, like when people say, if I may, that, hey, you were on your way back to doing these things or that, this thing, like, I want it to be stated for the record. Me, and who I used to be, this is a total contrast. I've totally changed a lot of who I was for who I am today. And sometimes I just have mental breakdowns when it comes to my mother and my wife. It's difficult to hear that your mother was kidnapped and then possibly raped and then just was kidnapped recently before that and robbed in Chicago. So I was dealing with that the best way I knew how. And like I said, I have no excuse for impeding traffic because that's exactly what they gave me.
Sir, if I remember, you said dealing with this the best way you knew how or something like that.
Yes, sir.
What was the best way that you knew how?
Not to make myself available for anger or in in the midst of other people that I would, you know, exact anger towards. I just had developed a, I don't know, my wife says I would like to run away. I walk away from things, I drive off, and I do that as a means to control my anger. I don't want to infringe upon nobody else's walk in life. Like, I don't need who I used to be. No matter what happens today, ain't who I used to be. I'm nothing like him, and I'm nothing like most of anybody that's in here. And I apologize, like I say, I'm my parole officer. If I may state, he never called. We have proof today when it comes to that. He never called.
You broke off contact with your community corrections officer for 7 days. Why did you do that?
No. I'm sorry, sir, if I may interrupt you. He, I answered the question. I wasn't speaking with him at that point. I was speaking to his supervisor. I'm not clearly, like, I don't clearly remember her name, but I think it's Mrs. Bachman. She made a threat that's on my phone. It's literally recorded. All my phone calls were recorded, and she scared me when she told me that if you don't have that DUI, dropped within 24 hours, then you could be looking at going back into incarceration. I didn't understand that. You know, I was trying to grasp.
Okay,
the totality.
But that's not a threat. That's a warning.
Yes, sir.
Not threatening you. She's telling you that there are rules for community supervision. I'm going to ask
yes,
a question to our community corrections hearings officer. Mr. Turner, is there any record of him making contact?
There is some contact. It was contact. There is a couple different ones, a couple different issues, and I will try to abbreviate it, unless you want to read verbatim. One was for the 122-2019 where he failed to drop. He got a violent, they dropped it there. That was due to the fact that he was trying to use a device to provide the sample. When they saw that, they asked him to leave the room, in which he threw that device away. Then the officer found out that he had been in an accident. On 128, the offender called crying, saying that he didn't want to go forth to the office. He didn't understand why. His parole officer explained to him that due to the incident at task, and due to the fact that he had a DUI, they needed documentation. And he was directed to report in. He failed to report in when he was directed. They had contact with his wife in regards to him reporting in. On 129, they spoke with the offender. He stated that he was trying to seek an attorney for the arrest on the DUI, that he didn't think that it was fair to go back to prison. It was explained to the offender that they were supposed to report to the office on Monday. 128 failed to do so. Explained to him the importance of coming into the office to speak with the supervisor. The offender ensured that he would be coming in, and they also asked him to bring in the documentation in regards to the citation or the DUI. And that is the last contact. On 130, a violation letter directing him to report was dropped off at the residence.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Kirkwood.
Yes, sir.
So, when were you saying that you made contact, or what's your explanation?
I made contact every time that I had an issue that arose, which were, in my opinion, they were limited because I was doing good. I got to a point where I started to have communication issues with my mom, but I had an issue with the task people making, I got them on video, as a matter of fact. There's video feed literally in your courtroom right now to prove the point that I was given extra time to urinate, and no one gives someone extra time if they say that a person committed something that was defrauding or an attempt to be criminalistic. They gave me an extra amount of time. It's proven on that tape. Then thereafter, I did call my PO, and I explained to him that they were actually, you know, taking like too much time. Just, it was two of them. One had somebody on the other side that he was tending to, and then the one that was over me, he was tending to me, and I just felt like it was more than one set of eyes. And you would probably say, well, that doesn't matter, you need the UA. I was focusing on UN, but I felt invaded, and then that's when I caught both of them looking at me, and I expressed to him that it was uncomfortable.
Well,
I did not produce any... Yes, sir.
There's a past incident report. It says, phone in the restroom, and I'm going by the first person, but I noticed the client had a black object in his right hand. I tried to get him with his hand. Client not having any object. I reminded the client that I needed to see the urine stream, leave him, knock on the window and ask the client to come out of the collection room or collection restroom. I also asked the client to bring out the device. The client threw another object in the trash and the tooth that was in his hand fell on the floor. So sir, that's a short version, but what was that about?
That was not true. Once I asked, he's not telling the story in its totality at all, and he's actually adding on to it. So where I go from is when I started the UA and I felt uncomfortable, that's when the supervisor party had expressed to me, hey, clicked on the window and said, hey, I need you to turn into the urinal, don't turn and look at us or whatever. I said, well, you know, it seemed like it's more than one set of eyes on me. And I made a discrepancy about that. But then he said, you know what, your time is up. You had it, you're done. I said, what you mean I'm done? He said, you had a device on you. I said, I didn't have nothing on me. He said, step back. I stepped back. He doesn't find anything on the floor. I didn't put anything in the garbage can. I had started videotaping because I asked for a supervisor party. That supervisor said that once she came in, when she does not have a report in there for some reason, which is baffling to me, she was an eyewitness allegedly. I asked for the supervisor and I expressed to the supervisor that this employee of hers had given me an extra minute, literally from 30 seconds to an extra minute to urinate. As soon as I started urinating into the cup, that's when he canceled it, period. And I felt like I was being robbed of the opportunity to show that I was clean. Thereafter, the video started and I expressed to him that I feel uncomfortable with them attempting to try to label the cup again with my information and basically act as if they were going to still submit it. And I was like, well, that's, you know, that, why am I not being allowed to UA if you're going to submit it? He said, we need to keep it. I said, well, I want to keep my cup or pour my urine out. He wouldn't allow me to do that. I videotaped that, and it speaks for itself. I was abrasive, but being abrasive is not so much, you know, it's not disrespectful. I'm just extra passionate. I left. I contacted my parole officer at that time. He said he had to wait until the paperwork was forwarded to him, and then he would have to call me and get back to me on that. The DUI actually ensued the day after, and I made sure I made him aware of this fact, and he said that he wanted to know if it was a felony. He was really worried about it being a felony because I had a felony DUI in 2005. But I did not get a felony. I did get a DUI. It is a criminal behavior. And I take responsibility for that. There's no means for me to attempt to shake and move like I used to be doing. I'm not going to do that. I was at the light. I was having issues mentally. My wife was aware of this, and I still took it upon myself to put myself in harm's way as well as anybody else when I stopped at that light and didn't remember blacking out. That's my responsibility. That's nobody else's.
Okay.
And
Mr.
yes, sir.
We've received quite a bit of information. I do not understand your logic about being given an extra minute and having a device. The device was the issue. And also, we do not have, and I don't even need to make this a point.
Yes, sir.
But you're talking about that we have a tape. I don't know what tape you're talking about.
I'm sorry if I may interrupt. My wife came with video footage and proof that, you know, of different things like that as far as what, from where I can catch it. And I started filming inside a task, asking him, did he give me an extra 30 seconds or a minute? You were witness him saying, yes, he did. If someone was actually seen presenting or displaying a behavior which is defrauding a urine analysis place, they wouldn't give you no extra time. The this person did that on camera and admitted that he gave me extra time, which to me, it comes to show a little bit of light on the fact that he might have embellished because of the fact that I was accusatory about their willingness to be gawking at me.
Okay, sir, I'm going to stop right there and ask if my fellow board members have questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, no? Okay. Mr. Kirkwood, at this point, we're going to ask if your supporter would like to come before the board, approach the podium and state your name.
Neutral court.
Can you speak to me?
Yes, thank you.
My name is Elisa Hughes Kirkwood.
And what would you like to show the board?
I have a letter from his mother and his aunt.
Do keep in mind that you can read it, but if you give it to the board, not the court, it's fine.
Okay. Do you want me to read it?
It's your choice.
So this one is from his aunt, Vivian Cole. It's handwritten, so it's kind of hard to read, so I'm going to try to go as best as I can. This is the one he was living with. I think I'm missing a page, sorry. Okay, so this letter is on behalf of my nephew, Manuel Kirkwood. I know him since he was born. He fell out of a second, third floor window when he was about 6 years old. He was severe. He was never evaluated to determine how this affected his mental status. He has been incarcerated most of his adult life, so his lack of knowledge and understanding of simple life skills, how to budget money and pay bills. After his release last year, Manuel was able to obtain employment for about 8 months. He became very discouraged when he couldn't find another job after being terminated. During the short time he stayed with me, I tried to help him with planning and setting goals for school and getting his house, I think it says. Manuel is an entrepreneur. He wants to have his own businesses, and I talked about everything, a cleaning business, talking with him about these things helped me realize that his level of maturity is that of a 17 or 19 year old. He has obvious signs of major anxiety and depression. I have cited other signs of mental illness that needs to be evaluated and addressed so that he can be put on some type of medication. I myself have suffered with major depression. I am now a certified peer support specialist. Please use this information to help my nephew, Manuel, so he is released, he can function in society as well as adjusted adult. And she leaves her name and her phone number. I don't know if you guys need that.
No, if you want to provide the board, we'll attach it to the case file. Okay. Otherwise, it is your choice. Thank you, ma'am.
This one is his mother's letter. This letter is affirmation concerning the mental stability of Manuel J. Kirkwood from Mother Hermina Holloway Kirkwood. At 5 years of age, Manuel was, I don't know if I want to say this out loud. How far does this information go? Just his file? Just this room?
It's recording. This is a recording hearing, thank you. And it'll be attached to his case file.
But I mean, no one else outside of DOC.
It is a public hearing.
It will be on the web.
It'll be on the web.
Okay, I'm just going to skip that part.
You're not obligated to share that.
Okay. Okay, so he just had issues with some older men doing things that were inappropriate to be doing with a child. Manuel got so angry when he plummeted out of a third floor window to catch him when he stated, did you like it over and over? I guess it's what the people were doing the deeds to him. He He should try to send Manuel to reside with his father, Michael Kirkwood, but the mental episodes never stopped. He ran away constantly and was expelled from school for constantly yelling, "Stop, stop, make it stop, leave me alone, don't do that." So the school and I finally came to agreement to have psychiatric evaluation performed, and he was diagnosed with severe emotional disturbance. My son has a beautiful heart and has tried all his life to be normal. He's not an animal, but he has been treated like one due to his recurrence of that episode. He is a damaged soul that needs to repair through psychiatric treatment. So I'll just go with my statement.
Thank you.
So I have records of the calls that they stated that they were calling him from the 1st through the 7th, I guess the days he was missing. So I have both of our phones call logs, and there's no calls between that time frame. I'm not sure exactly who they spoke with. I did try to contact his parole officer. His original parole officer was great, was always coming to visit or set times for him to visit. This one that he got transferred to, it was like he just kind of like dropped the ball with Manuel. He said he was going to come to a visit. Manuel was there at his aunt's all day. His parole officer called me and said, "Well, he's at his aunt's. I can't get a hold of him right now." But he never showed up. So Manuel called him the next day and said, "You know, I was here all day." His statement was, "Well, that's not how I do things. I call you. If I don't get an answer, then I'm not going to come." But that was never expressed beforehand because his other officer just simply gave us a time. "I'm coming between this time and this time. You must be at the residence." So when I contacted the parole officer, I advised them that he is going through a mental situation and that he needs help. Whatever the parole officer's supervisor's name was, I'm not sure what her name was, Block or something like that. She told me to get into a car with him and drive him over there. I told her I'm not going to get into a vehicle with someone who's not right now mentally stable. I'm requesting your guys' help, as you guys are the ones who are supposed to be watching over him. I told them that he was right in front of my house at that time and moment. They never came. They said that's not our responsibility. I contacted the cops when we were looking for lawyers because he started getting paranoid in the lawyer's office when we were talking to one, and just started getting really paranoid. Again, I knew it was because he was lacking his medication. So when the police came at that time, they were looking through the record, and there was no warrant at that time. Even though the supervisor had told me that there was a warrant, call them, they could take him in. They basically, the police were like, "I don't even know why you bothered calling us. There was no reason for you to call us. There's no warrant." They tried to get a hold of the parole officers both times. They couldn't do it. I finally got a hold of them, and they, you know, admitted to the police that there was not a warrant at that time. So I spoke with, I don't know what they're called, mental. They come in a van and they help out with mental patients. They had me fill out an application, which I do have here, that I'll go ahead and give you guys. And this is the reason why I had him submitted in there. He was talking about killing himself and that they're after him, and I know that's when he's lack of medication. I don't believe being in the prison setting is any help to him. I actually would like him to be released, and I've already looked at a couple of places. I want to get him to in treatment for his bipolar and all that other thing so that he can learn how to function, because in there it's not functioning reality. They have programs where they can help him function and find a job and be able to work with his illness and his medication. I want them to get a right kind of medication where he's not, as you can see, sounding like he's babbling or he's tired because he can't clearly speak on being on those medications. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any questions from the board members? Thank you for appearing before
the board today. Would you guys want the call logs?
You can certainly provide them to the board. I can attach them.
I do have that video he was speaking of, but I don't know if that's anything to do with the case that you deserved.
Thank you. Repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so
So is there anything else that you think is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you and I appreciate the board's time. I just wanted to state a few things for the record. I have reevaluated myself so many times in the last couple of years. I've changed the way I've thought. You know, I went out there with the best that I've ever did coming out from confinement due to my own inability to stay away from people that I felt were wrong, but I was one of the wrong parties, a part of that circle. It took a long time for me to grow up in here and figure out some of the things that I needed to do to make myself a better man, because it's a journey that I have yet to overcome or to reach. I'm not a man yet. That doesn't mean I don't have the capability to understand right from wrong, and I do. I don't teach wrong, I correct it. I do my best to follow it, and that's the person I've grown up to be in sometimes in life. You know, I allow my family issues or my own personal inabilities to control my will to cause me to collapse and things like that. And I just felt that I was still doing great when I was out there. I wasn't the old me. I wasn't him. I don't know how to be him no more, regardless of what happens today. The place that I'm at now is extremely depressing. I still have to take responsibility because I had a misdemeanor DUI. I did read up on misdemeanors and how they are held when parolees are paroled in Arizona. And then for the most part, it said that they usually do not revoke on misdemeanor charges, but they use the sewer charges. I combated them. I've actually brought witness statements that from the phone company where my parole officer stated on under oath the last time we were here that he called my phone and that he left a message at my home on my phone and my wife's, when my wife has both phones there and the ability to prove just against that, which puts him as committing perjury if I'm not mistaken. I did contact him and let him know what's going on. I could have done a lot better. I'm sorry, sir.
Who are you saying committed perjury?
Mr. Washington said that he called and talked and left a message on my phone and explained to me the necessary things that he felt that I needed to get get the understanding of what was going on, but he never did that. That's not true. He said he did that on the first. My wife can prove against that, that he was under oath when he made that statement. He said that he called and left a message on the first. My wife has evidence to prove against that, as well as she has evidence to prove against the fact that he did not call her either. I don't know what the communication issue was. My phone was very much so working. I still don't blame nobody at the parole office. Parole officer and the parole office is good people. I needed to do better. It's not no one's fault but my own, because I didn't do better at that will. I was irresponsible, and I need to take more responsibility in my actions. If I can't get behind that will properly, then I need to not be behind that will at all. I wish I didn't have to be here. It's difficult to sit here and live next to people who don't want to do anything but continue down the cycle that they are. I don't want to be here, but I may have to be. I wish I didn't have to be. I'm willing to confront any type of treatment program I would be allowed to go into if that was possible. If not, any halfway houses. I'm more than willing. I'm not an unwilling participant in this life that I've constructed somewhat of my own and made it, you know, trying some time over my lifespan for my family and friends, as well as the court system and everybody else. I'm smart. I just don't want to sit here and make excuses. That's not what I'm about today. Today I'm about correcting it and figuring out how to strive to be better. For the record, I'm not against the disciple no more. I've given that life up. I don't want any parts of that. They have no good things for me in life to be following them behind, and I thought that was something that I wanted to do, and I did it.
Okay.
That's
not part of your hearing, Mr. Kirkwood.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask you some of your statements so that we can grow the discussion.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that I really believe in myself. I know myself. I love my wife for being here today. I thank you guys for the opportunity to attempt to shed some light on who I am. A lot of the paperwork's going to say this and that, but I've actually grown a lot since the person that came in here in 2008. I've done a lot of changing, and I want to continue to change, and I hope I'm given that opportunity. I appreciate y'all's time. I really do.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case on the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you will just stay on the line, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board's got our discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case, and I certainly heard what Mr. Kirkwood had to share. I have some concerns that the community corrections officer thought it was significant enough to make 5 allegations on this report. And based on the information providing those allegations, even though he'd already been through a public cost hearing on March 21st, 2019, there's some very detailed information in the allegation as to his behavior when he was arrested for DUI. And again, for the record, I want to make this clear on this. That charge is still pending for the misdemeanor.
Yes, there's 2 separate. There's one for the DUI and one for the drugs, I believe. I can reread it if you would like.
No, it's okay, sir. I just wanted to make sure that I was clear on that. But based on 5 allegations, very detailed information, his behavior, as well as pending charges, I am not finding a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision. But that's what we did in the discussion. Okay, then I'm going to make a motion. And that is, pardon me, regarding the information provided to this board in board number 2019-W0290. For discussion with Mr. Kirkwood, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Kirkwood was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of supervision at a lapse, or is about to lapse, and removal of the company at a minimum, him being stopped and arrested for driving on the influence, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Second by the Honorable Mr. Neal, being one by the Honorable Dr. Wright, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Kirkwood, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on or about You will be released on or about October 25th, 2019. We recognize that you've had some ongoing health issues. It sounds like that you're being treated now. We encourage you to take advantage of these last months to seek any counseling that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections, and more, to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. We hope that you're able to continue with your treatment and are able to return to the community safe and productive. So we do wish you the best. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we appreciate it, Mr. Kirkwood, if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
They're not available, so I would just hang up.
Don't hang up.
Hang up. Just set the phone down, sir.
Put the phone down. They'll be back.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.